certainly appreciate you coming down and being with us tonight, especially those that are visiting with us. We certainly count you our guest and invite you back at every opportunity that you might be with the church family here at Gardner Lane. Tonight I want to talk for a few minutes about making the right choices. I can remember when we were in high school and started preaching, that you would go to different places. There were just opportunity after opportunity back in the 70s to preach at different places. I know that Phil back there, he's preached in many places. Kent has preached at many places. And we would go out, and I don't know if they would contact Gene or Frank or whatever, but we'd get a call to go and preach someplace. And I remember one place down in the country there, about 100 miles, gone down there several times. And when I got through, you would leave about 7 in the morning. They would have services at 7 at night, so you'd get home about 9 at night. So 14 hours you'd spend pretty much on the road or down in the country. And they would pay you, 1977, they would pay you $10. $10 to drive 100 and so miles in a 1966 Caprice with a 396 engine. So even back then, your profit margin was pretty low. But on the third month, they would pay you $8 a week. So I asked the fella, I said, well, why in the world am I getting $8 a week? I was getting 10. And he said, well, it's a 5-Sunday month. And so they can only pay 8. So I thought about the choices I was making at that time as well. And of course, this morning you had a choice that you were making, maybe concerning breakfast. The breakfast that you had this morning. I was talking to Charlie about Robin retiring and everything, and you know, hopefully Rob will start making Charlie breakfast now since she's retired now. So you might have a choice concerning that, the choice of your clothing you put on this morning. Maybe you had to go through that choice this morning. Maybe you have a couple of cars and you had to decide what car you were going to drive this morning. Well, over in Genesis chapter 13 and in verse 11, we see a choice that was made there as well. Genesis 13, verse 11, I think most of these will be on the board tonight, so you can follow along with me or follow along in your Bible, either one. It says, then Lot chose for himself all the plain of Jordan, and Lot journeyed east, and they separated from one another. So we see what happens at this time when there was a conflict between Lot's herdsmen and Abram's herdsman at that time in chapter 13. When we look back, though, at the story very quickly, we see concerning Lot and his choice that, first of all, he was Abraham's nephew. In Genesis, and in chapter 11, verse 27 and 28, it says, this is the genealogy of Terah. Terah begot Abram, Nahor, and Haran. Haran begot Lot, and Haran died before his father Terah in his native land in the Ur of the Chaldeans. We find something, though, in Joshua. This isn't on your chart, but in Joshua chapter 24 and in verses 2 and 3, concerning what Terah was doing in Joshua 24 and in verses 2 and 3, it says, and Joshua said to all the peoples, thus says the Lord, the God of Israel, from ancient times, your fathers lived beyond the river, namely Terah, the father of Abraham and the father of Nahor. And it says there, they served other gods. Then I took your father Abraham from beyond the river and led him to all the land of Canaan and multiplied his descendants and gave him Isaac. We also see something else here as well. And that is that Lot is going to travel with Abraham. It says in chapter 12 and in verse 5, then Abram took Sarah, his wife, and Lot, his brother's son, and all the possessions which they had gathered, and the people whom they had acquired in Haran, and they departed to go to the land of Canaan. So they came to the land of Canaan. So he left. He left Ur of Chaldees, somewhere around the area that the Garden of Eden was, between the Tigris and Euphrates River. But the interesting thing to me is he was 75 years old. This year, my brother would have lived. He'd have been 75 years old. I know there's different people in the audience tonight that were born in 1942, and this year, we have several people this year that are going to be 75 years old. And I think about just the fact of just uprooting your family at 75. And not just moving across town. Even that takes some doing, maybe many times at 75. But not only that, but moving to a different country altogether, not knowing where you are going. So we see here as well that Lot and Abram are both rich. The Lord has been very kind to them. The Lord has blessed them greatly. Even though there were a lot of things that didn't work out in Egypt, they came out of Egypt evidently very wealthy men. It says in chapter 13, verses 2 through 5, and Abram was very rich in livestock, in silver and in gold. And he went on his journey from south as far as Bethel to the place where the tent had been at the beginning, between Bethel and Ai, to the place of the altar which he had made there at first. And there Abram called on the name of the Lord. Lot also, who went with Abram, had flocks and herds and tents. You start to define Abram and Lot a little bit here. You see that Abram is very conscious concerning God. And he builds altars at the different places that he goes. And he is about the business of worshiping God. But then you see Lot, at this point in time, he has flocks and herds and tents. They talk about his wealth here. There are problems between the two herdsmen. The Bible says in Genesis chapter 13, verses 6 through 9, now the land was not able to support them, that they might dwell together. For their possessions were so great that they could not dwell together. And there was strife between the herdsmen of Abram's livestock and the herdsmen of Lot's livestock. And the Canaanites and the Perizzites then dwelled in the land. So Abram said to Lot, please let there be no strife between you and me, between my herdsmen and your herdsmen. For we're brethren. And, well, that's a great program for peace. No strife between you and I, because we are brethren. And that teaching just continues on to this day. It is not the whole land before you. Please separate from me. If you take the left, then I will go to the right. If you go to the right, then I will take the left. And then we almost feel sorry for Abraham here. Concerning the choice, on the surface, it seemed good for Lot. It says Lot lifted up his eyes. He saw the plain of the Jordan. It was well watered everywhere. And then he goes on to say, before the Lord destroyed Sodom and Gomorrah. Just like the garden of the Lord. They had heard about that. And Lot, he wanted that area. He chose for himself all the plain of the Jordan. Lot journeyed east, and they separated from one another, and Abram dwelt in the land of Canaan. Abraham received the promised land. But a lot of times when we read that, we feel sorry for Abraham. That Lot, he got an area that was well watered. He got an area that looked like the Garden of Eden. He got an area that looked like the land of Egypt. And all Abraham got was the land of Canaan. But that was the promised land. That was the land, as they talk about, that's going to flow with milk and honey. It's not flowing with milk and honey as of yet. Abraham evidently is still digging his own wells at this time. But it's a land soon, after they're in Egypt, and stay there, that's going to start flowing with milk and honey. But it says at the end here, but the men of Sodom were extremely wicked and sinful against the Lord. So one thing we see is Lot, his choice. The result of his choice we look at next. Point number two. There was a war. And involved in that war was a kidnapping. There was a predominant king here, Chedorlaomer. And he takes many people hostage. And one of the people that he takes hostage is Lot. It says in Genesis 14, verse 11 and 12, it says, they took all the goods of Sodom and Gomorrah and all the possessions and went their way. They also took Lot, Abram's brother's son, who dwelt in Sodom, and his goods, and departed. We see in 2 Peter chapter 2, verse 7 and 8. I was a kid growing up, I just couldn't figure out this passage. It talks about that, and delivered righteous Lot, who was oppressed by the filthy conduct of the wicked, for that righteous man dwelling among them tormented his righteous soul from day to day by seeing and hearing their lawless deeds. Uses the term righteous three times. And when I was studying this in kids' classes, you know, you got Sodom and Gomorrah, and you got that fellow staying there, and all of a sudden you got this fella that he's talking about here in 2 Peter that is righteous, he's righteous, he's righteous. In Genesis 19, verse 1 through 11, you see the conduct of the people of Sodom and Gomorrah. What they want to do to the angels. You see the loss of material possessions as well. It says, then the Lord rained fire and brimstone, or brimstone and fire, on Sodom and Gomorrah from the Lord out of the heavens. So he overthrew these cities, the plain, all the inhabitants of the city, and what grew on the ground. Then Lot went up out of Zoar and went to the mountains and his two daughters with him, for he was afraid to dwell in Zoar, and he and his two daughters dwelt in the cave. And of course you begin to see what's going to unfold. His wife dies. In Genesis 19, verse 17, verse 26, it says, "So it came to pass, when they had brought them outside, he said to them, 'Escape for your life. Do not look behind you or stay anywhere in the plain. Escape to the mountains, lest you be destroyed.'" And then it talks about his wife. It says, "His wife looked back behind him, and she became a pillar of salt." Back to the story of the daughters. He commits immorality with the two daughters. He says, "Come, let us make our father drink wine, and we will lie with him, that we may preserve the lineage of our father." Thus both daughters of Lot were with child by their father. The firstborn a son, and named him Moab. He is the father of the Moabites to this day. The younger she bore a son and called him Ben-Ammi. And he is the father of the people of Ammon to this day. But getting back to the point that I was making originally, and that is, this happened though he was righteous. Peter again and again and again calls him righteous Lot. And I take it he is righteous here because he did not become contaminated by the vices of Sodom and Gomorrah, by the sin that was going on there. But he was not righteous in his actions towards his daughters. We understand that that is a sin. Well, our choices. Told you at the beginning of the lesson, you made choices this morning concerning different things you were going to do. We make choices right now about the fact of whether we're going to follow the Lord or not. It says in Matthew 7, the end of the Sermon on the Mount, very popular children's song for many, many years now. "The wise man builds his house upon the rock." It says in chapter 7, verse 24 and 25, "Therefore, who hears these sayings of mine and does them, I will liken him to a wise man who built his house on the rock. The wind, the rain descended, the floods came, the winds blew and beat on the house, and it did not fall because it was founded on the rock." It's going to be a choice of whether we're going to spend an eternity with God or not. And this choice that we make are going to have a bearing on different choices in our life as well. Maybe one's career. We understand from passages like 1 Timothy chapter 5 and in verse 8. 1 Timothy 5, verse 8, it says, "If anyone does not provide for his own, especially those of his household, he has denied the faith and is worse than an unbeliever." Now, that's going to have a lasting effect. It might be on your marriage. It might be on your family. It might be on service to God. He says, "Seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you." The choice concerning our spouse. In Romans chapter 7 and verse 2 it says, "For the woman who has a husband is bound by the law to her husband as long as he lives, but if the husband dies, she is released from the law of her husband." This decision that you make concerning marriage is going to have a great effect on your life, and your mate should be the one that's going to help you in going to heaven, not hinder your progress in going to heaven. Maybe your friends. We see in Proverbs many times, just a couple here and then in 1 Corinthians, "A friend loves at all times, a brother is born for adversity." Says Proverbs 12 and in verse 26, the righteous should choose his friends carefully, for the way of the wicked leads them astray. And then 1 Corinthians chapter 15, very, very odd place to put this if you were just reading this, for just the sake of reading this. Right in the middle of a resurrection chapter, right in the middle of a resurrection chapter, the Apostle Paul writes, do not be deceived. Evil company corrupts good habits or corrupts good morals. And evidently, there was a lot of people teaching false doctrine about the resurrection. And they needed to be wise about the choices that they made about who they were going to spend time with. Well, where you live. Where you live. We see here that Abram dwelled in the land of Canaan. Father of the faithful. Dwelled in the land of Canaan, and Lot dwelled in the cities of the plain and pitched his tent even as far as Sodom. And the men of Sodom were exceedingly wicked and sinful against the Lord. And then a couple chapters later, we see that Lot, he's not pitched his tent toward Sodom. He's at the gate of Sodom. And then you see a little bit later, he's living in the city of Sodom. We need to be careful about where we live. Would this be a good city to raise my children? What kind of place would this be, morally speaking? Can I live here without the evil effects of the city influencing me to do wrong? Is there a faithful church in the city? My children right now are driving, I guess, over an hour in North Carolina to go to church. They thought there was going to be a closer church, but that just didn't work out for them. And now there's people that I hear that drive two, sometimes in California, close to 3 hours. To go to worship service. And that's commendable that people would drive that far. But do you think about it? Do you think about that when you move to a certain place? Well, we need to make right choices. To ask God for wisdom. If any of you lacks wisdom, let him ask of God, who gives us all liberally and without reproach, and they'll be given to him. Brother Robert says in his commentary, wisdom is the common sense to put into practice the principles and instructions given in the revelation of God's word. Maybe to seek advice from other Christians. Especially to seek advice from other Christians that have been successful in serving the Lord and have been serving the Lord for a long time. It says in Proverbs chapter 11, verse 14, where there's no counsel, the people fall. But in the multitude of counselors, there is safety. The way of the fool is right in his own eyes, but he who heeds counsel is wise. And to make decisions with the Lord in mind. Commit your way to the Lord, trust also in him, and he shall bring it to pass. The steps of a good man are ordered by the Lord, and he delights in his way. And the flip side of this is just the wrong choice to make. A couple more and the lesson's yours. Lot followed the Lord's instruction. He fled the city. Peter went out and wept bitterly for denying the Lord three times. Paul accepted the forgiveness offered through the Lord for persecuting the church and became one of its most able defenders. Tonight, the question is, are you just making the right decisions? Are you making the right choices? Only you and the Lord know that. We would encourage you that if you need to respond to the Lord in any way by being baptized or coming back to your first love, we invite you to come now while together we stand, while we sing.